All right, well, this morning, we're going to talk about open doors. And it's either really hot in here on the stage or the Holy Spirit fire is all over my neck. So I don't know. But we'll see. It could be this light. But the reality is I was praying a couple weeks ago and sort of asking God, what would you have me share in the next time that I'm going to preach? And I felt like he highlighted Philippians and the church of Philippi. And I felt like he said that there's keys that are relevant in this season to empower and equip the people of grace. And so there's something there. And then as I sort of pressed in and started reading Philippians, I felt like the Lord said for this particular message to actually go back to the beginning. Go back to Acts 16, where Paul and Silas actually went to Philippi. And look at that first. It's sort of the foundation for the letter that would come, most people think, about 10 years later. Does that make sense? So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Acts chapter 16, and you can open it up to verse 6. And really, we're going to explore a question just to start with is, why did Paul go to Philippi in the first place? Right? There's a reason for why God invites us on adventures. There's things that he has in store for us personally, but also for the people that we're going to encounter. And this is one of those situations, right? So Acts 16:6, it says, "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." So Paul's in this season basically asking the Holy Spirit. He's on a missionary journey and he's asking, where do we go next? And there's these closed doors, right? That they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into Asia. Why? Weren't they supposed to go to all the ends of the earth? But for some reason in that day, the door was closed to go into Asia. And then the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them to go into Bithynia. They weren't allowed to go. It's very interesting. Paul has this vision in the middle of the night. And he sees this this Macedonian image, right? Assignment to preach the gospel to Macedonia. He discerns that it's the word of God to him. It wasn't just a dream. Even if it was a dream, it could have been God speaking to him in a dream. But somehow in the midst of the vision, Paul discerns that this is what God's saying. It's the now word for what they're supposed to do. It's an open door. And Paul attaches faith to what he hears and sees, and he moves forward. And that's a good word. We could spend a whole sermon just on that. Because often you'll see something or hear something, and sometimes your question, is it the Lord or not? Sometimes we even say it is the Lord, but do you attach faith to it? Paul attached faith to what he heard. This is the will of the Lord. Here is the open door, and it's what we're supposed to go to next. Verse 11, it says, "So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and following day to Neapolis, from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." So there's an open door in the natural, right? He had the vision. They start heading in a direction. If it wasn't God, could God have stopped them? Probably, right? So they set sail from Troas, Samothrace, Neapolis. They make it to Philippi. It's the leading city in this whole region that the gospel has never been preached to before, right? Following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then on the Sabbath day, they go down to the riverside because they supposed it would be a place of prayer. And what do they find? There's a group of women that have gathered, and they speak to the women about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one who heard us was a woman named Lydia, right? She just happened to be there. She's from Thyatira. She's a seller of purple goods. Why that's important, I don't know, but it's included. There's something to it. I think of purple, I think royalty. There's something interesting, right? She probably was significant in some way more than what we realize. And yet the reality is she who was there. And she was a worshiper of God. Did she know Jesus? No. But she was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And she said, I want that. And so right there, she was baptized, her and her household. And then she urges them, if you have found favor with me or judge me to be faithful in the Lord, come to my house and stay. Here's another open door. They had an open door from the Lord to a city. And then in the city, they had an open door of someone who's going to take care of their needs while they're there. Right? Lydia takes the disciples in and provides for them. Okay. Verse 16. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very hour. It's a very curious situation, right? One day, we don't know how long they've been there. Paul doesn't tell us. The writer of the letter doesn't tell us. Or the writer of Acts doesn't tell us. Luke doesn't tell us. But one day, they're going to the place of prayer, and there is a slave girl who has a spirit of divination, and she's a cash cow. What's a cash cow? It's somebody who makes money for somebody else, right? And she followed Paul and Silas and the other disciples, crying out, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. Was it true? Yeah, it's true. Free advertising. For days, she follows them, screaming this. And Paul gets annoyed because it's distracting. Right? It's interesting. And so he commands the spirit to go, and it does. And so now the slave girl who had the spirit of divination no longer has the spirit of divination, and she's just a little girl. We never get to hear the rest of her story, right? But what we do find out starts in verse 19. It says, but when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them. And the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So the owners of the girl are furious. They just lost their moneymaker, right? They drag Paul and Silas before the magistrates. The crowds attack them. They're beaten with rods. They're thrown into prison. They're placed in chains. It appears like the open door is no longer open. Right? Could it get worse? I guess they could have been killed. Right? But they're actually placed in the most inner part of the prison. Right? So hidden beyond hidden from everybody in the city where God said to go. Right? Where the open door was. Why would God allow Paul and Silas to suffer for setting a captive free? You ever thought about that? How do Paul and Silas respond? Like some of us, we can look at that and we could be mad at God because they were just walking and advancing the kingdom, sharing the gospel. And yet the reality is when we see the response of Paul and Silas, we can learn something. It says in verse 25, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They're thrown in prison. They've just been beaten with rods. They have chains on their legs. They're in the stocks. And what are they doing? They're praying and singing praise to the God. Their circumstances couldn't be any bleaker, yet they're praising and glorifying God. They're not questioning God. It's obvious they're not angry at God. They're worshiping and honoring God. And they're strengthening themselves in the Lord. Like you remember David when he got back to Ziklag and all of his wives and the children and everybody was gone. He strengthened himself in the Lord in the face of his men wanting to kill him. He strengthened himself in the Lord. This is, I think, an example in the New Testament of what does it look like to strengthen yourself in the Lord when adverse circumstances present themselves. And it's interesting that the prisoners, the other prisoners that were in that section of the jail, they were listening to them. God was doing something in the midst of this. So Paul and Silas's assignment, it hasn't ended. It just sort of pivoted, right? What they were able to do out in the open in the city of Philippi, now they're stuck inside a jail cell, but they're still advancing the gospel, and we'll see why. The door to Philippi, it hadn't been shut in their eyes. You see how they could have just been discouraged and given up hope? And said, well, okay, we'll just, now we're in prison. What God's going to do now? But they're trusting God in their current circumstance wherever it leads them. And I think for me, I think I asked the question, have I or have we ever been following the leading of the Holy Spirit? And then everything sort of seems to go awry. Like you're moving in the direction, you heard the word, this is what I'm supposed to do. You go, you start doing the ministry thing or whatever he called you to do, and then it just sort of falls apart. Did they mishear? You could think that, because the circumstances don't look very good. Like, did Paul mess up? It says he got annoyed. That's close to being mad, maybe a little bit angry. Maybe the consequence is a result of him. No, he's setting a captive free, right? We're always meant to set captives free. Jesus said we'd do the same things as him, right? Even greater. So the reality is God's going to utilize this circumstance to accomplish something else, right? But in the moment, we all have a choice, right? You can either give up and give in to despair. You can say, oh, well. You can get angry at God and pull away from him, which is a classic response when things don't go our way. Or you can draw near to God and you can seek his face, right? You can listen to his direction. It's like, okay, now we're here. What would you have us do, right? You enter his gates with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. So if you're at a situation you don't know what to do, start praising and thanking God. If you want to feel close to God, start praising and thanking God. Right? It's that simple. And that's what I see these brothers do in the middle of a jail cell after being beaten with rods. Right? Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Suddenly, there's a great earthquake. Was it in response to their praising? We don't know, right? The prison is shaken immediately, and it was shaken so much that the doors are opened. All the prison doors are open. All the chains break off. That's some earthquake, right? You know what I'm saying? And when the jailer wakes up in verse 27, he saw that the prison doors were open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. He had one job, keep the prisoners safe, right? Keep them there. But Paul cries out with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, for we're all here." And the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. So the jailer is shaken in the natural, right? He saw that the prison doors were open. He saw that the, and so he draws his sword. He's about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. And Paul says, "Don't do it. We're here. We're all here," right? Then the jailer is shaken in the spirit, and he falls down before Paul and Silas. Verse 30, it says, "Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" What the jailer saw in Paul and Silas, what happened in the jail, was unlike anything he had ever seen before. What happened with the earthquake and the fact that the chains were gone and the prisoners stayed was unlike anything he could ever imagine. Something gripped his spirit. So they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. He rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Right? What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus, right? And you will be saved, you and your household. That's the key word right there, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, his household. Then he washes their wounds. Think of that. The one who was supposed to keep them captive now is washing their wounds. Talk about an upside down, right? They baptize him and his whole family, and then they have a feast and a celebration. It's unheard of. Verse 35, "But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police, saying, 'Let those men go.' And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace.' But Paul said to them, 'They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out.' The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and they apologized to them. They took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them, and they departed." Okay. So the magistrates, they just want to simply dismiss Paul and Silas. They want them to go quietly, right? But fear grips them when they find out they're Roman citizens, right? And they apologize, they ask them to leave. And Paul and Silas, they comply, but they do something first. They go back and they meet with Lydia. And they encouraged the other brothers that had been there, those who had become followers of Jesus, why they were there. They encouraged them before they go. And ultimately, the Philippian church was born. Right? You have Lydia. You have a jailer. We don't know the names of the other people who believed in Jesus in this region. Right? But because of the open door, now there's new life, salvation, and kingdom advancement in Philippi. There was an open door. The vision that God gave Paul was an open door. He attached faith to it and followed it, whatever it would take him, and he met people who then came to follow Jesus. It's people. We keep saying the kingdom of God is built around relationships, right? The birth of the church, it did cost Paul and Silas something, though. Right? Just because God invites you through an open door, it doesn't mean it's going to all be easy. It doesn't mean you won't have to pay a price. Right? They were beaten. They were imprisoned. When Paul had the initial vision and word to go, he didn't know what was going to happen. Often you get an open door, you have no idea what's beyond the threshold of that door. You just simply have a choice. Am I going to walk through the door or not? Right? But every step of the way, Paul followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And even when the circumstances look bleak, like in the prison, we see that Paul and Silas are focusing on Jesus. They never took their eyes off Jesus, right? And God made a way where there was seemingly no way. Like, would Paul and Silas have had contact with the jailer if they hadn't been thrown into prison? We don't know. And yet the reality is, did they definitely have contact with the jailer because they were thrown in prison? Yeah, we do know that, right? Sometimes I think our worst predicaments lead to our greatest breakthroughs in the kingdom, right? You get thrown into a set of circumstances that are most adverse in your life, and yet God can take that. He utilizes it for your good and also for the good of other people in your sphere of influence because of the kingdom that's inside of you, right? Again, the kingdom of God is built around relationship. And so now Paul and Silas have a relationship with Lydia and her family. They have a relationship with the jailer and his family, right? Lydia and the jailer continue to spread the gospel in the region, and the Philippian church grows. Paul and Silas go on. And who's left? You have these new believers, these new followers of Jesus trying to figure it out and starting this church. Years later, Paul sends a letter to encourage, exhort, and to love the body of Christ in Philippi. Like I said, most people think it was about 10 years later. There's debate, but so today, we're just looking at the foundation. How did this church get birthed? This is how. It was through encounters with individuals because of open doors, both in the natural and in the spirit, that a church was birthed, right? In the next couple weeks, we're going to look at the book of Philippians, and we'll sort of unpack it a little bit for some keys. We're not going to go through it verse by verse, but some keys that the Holy Spirit wants to highlight for us in this season. But for today, and for you personally, I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to ask the question, what are the doors that God has opened for you so far in 2025? Like, here we are, we're in May, right? I don't know if you remember, if you were with us in January, I gave a couple messages. One was, where are you going? And one was, where do you find yourself? And in those messages, it felt like God was sort of asking the question for the year 2025, are there specific places that God would have you go, or specific people or groupings of people that you're meant to go to? Or sometimes, as we see in the kingdom, you just are in a place and people sort of come to you, or some circumstance, you find yourself in a place or in a grouping of people that you weren't planning on it, right? Some of those kinds of people were family, neighbors, coworkers, just people in the marketplace, maybe sectors of your city or people groups within the city, or other regions or other nations. And I encourage you in those messages to carve out time to hear. And so one of the things as we sort of go back, you know, in our culture, we have, our church culture, often we just go message to message, week to week. And yet that's not how the kingdom of God is. There's keys that are released in one season that are meant to carry you through. And so I think God's just highlighting that. I wasn't planning this, but it feels like it's something of what he's doing and sort of to remind us, do you remember what he told you? If you did carve out that time, right? We're not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you did and you heard something, do you remember what he told you? And if you did, what have you done with what you've heard? Right? How have you stewarded what he shared with you? Did you attach faith to it? So I'll give you an example from my own life. So when I took time those in January to carve out that time and say, God, is there any door that you have open for me? Is there any place that you want me to go? I heard India. And I'm like, India? I've never prayed about India. I don't know anybody who lives in India. I have no connection to India, but I heard India. And so for me, what I do with a word when I hear it from the Lord is I say, okay, I'm going to just hold that. God, if you really have a desire for me to do something or have some connection to India, the nation of India, then I need you to give me more clarity. And in the meantime, I'm going to pray for that nation, right? And so what I've done, I've tried to do, I'm not perfect, but I tried to pray about India every week since I heard that word. I haven't met, I've heard rumors of people from India, but I haven't had a clear connection where the Lord is saying, this I have for you. Initially, I did research to see, is there any mission trips with organizations that I know of that are happening in India this year? And there were none. And then I did a wider search. Is there any mission trips to India? And I saw some things, but nothing was like the Holy Spirit on it. You know what I'm saying? So you hold it. You can be tempted to say, I dismissed that word and I wasn't hearing correctly. Or you hold it and you say, God, is there something more that you have for me in this? And so I'm still in that place, right? I'm not asking for you guys to solve it for me. Right? Maybe you have a connection and that could be a good thing. But the reality is there's something there that God's after. All that being said is if you did hear something, it'd be good to go back to it and say, what have I done with that word? Have I just shelved it? Usually it takes action for the word to become activated. We see that with Paul. He had this vision of Macedonia. It took action to say, I think that's God, we're supposed to go. And then they go. Make sense? I could get on a boat to India, right? But I don't think I'm supposed to. Anyway, that's between me and the Lord. But what's God doing in you? And then what is God doing through you? Some of you, you maybe have already walked through that open door and you're doing ministry or you're doing something in your family or with your neighbors or your coworkers that you weren't doing in 2024 because of the word that God gave you. And then my encouragement is celebrate it. Celebrate what's happening. Celebrate what's already happened in these 4 months, right? This is just a small section of your life. Take time to celebrate what he's doing. Maybe you've said yes to step into a new position, or maybe you've said yes to step into a new opportunity, or to reach out to your coworkers in a way that you weren't doing it before, whatever, right? Maybe you have done a small missions trip, right? I don't know. Maybe you're spending your days at the park, right? Because you know that God said, go to this park and pray, or go to this park and look for people that look like this and then reach out to them with the gospel. I don't know what God said to you. All I would say is if he gave you something, go for it. Don't lose it, right? The other question around it is, like with Paul, they had hit some closed doors, right? And so sometimes God leads you through a door and then you know the season for that is done. What he was doing in that place, it's done. And so you can ask him, what's next? Or you can just rest and take a break. But you can ask him, what's next? Is there more for me to do in this area? Is there a way I'm supposed to pivot, right? So maybe you've learned some things over the course of these 4 months, and then he's saying, okay, now I'm going to expand that for you to do something else, right? That's even connected in that area. Or maybe it's a totally brand new door that he's saying, now I want you to do this, right? If he is inviting you into a new door or a pivot, then the encouragement I would have for you today is to embrace it and to attach faith to what you're hearing, right? Trust that God has already equipped you for whoever, whatever, or wherever he's leading you. Sometimes we think, I need more training, I need more education, I need more of this. You only need it if God says you need it. Sometimes the desire for more information or education is because you're so scared to death to actually be activated. And often we just need to be activated and then trust the Holy Spirit's going to come and empower you with exactly what you need. I see that every day I go to the healing rooms. I have no idea who's going to be sitting in the chair, but I know that me and God have this thing worked out. Whoever walks in, if I get paired up with them, I'm the one who's supposed to be there. He's going to show me exactly what to pray, say, and do. And whatever happens is what was supposed to happen in that moment. End of story. And I learn and I grow every single time, right? It's interesting. But that's just you attach faith to what God's saying and doing. The last thing is to continue in joy. Even when you don't understand it, I have this word about India. I have no clue, but I can still attach joy to that because it's something God's after, right? I don't have to understand it. I just have to decide, am I going to hold it? Am I going to attach faith that God has something there, right? And then I can partner with him wherever that goes. Who knows? All right. Let's pray. Jesus, you're so good. And we celebrate your goodness and your faithfulness to us. And I thank you for just your desire is always to lead us into greater measures of abundant life. And so in the way that you're going to utilize both the foundation and the start of the church in Philippi with Paul and Silas, as well as the letter of Philippians to release keys into the people of grace in this season, to equip us and to empower us, we say thank you. We thank you in advance. Thank you for this word today, just the idea that you're the one who opens doors, you're the one who closes doors. You're the one who can lead us and equip us into situations and circumstances that even if we don't understand it, we can follow your leading Holy Spirit. Thanks for the way that you're teaching us. What does it look like to attach faith to what we're hearing or what we're seeing from you? And how to live a life that's purely in alignment with you. We just want that more and more and more. And then I pray in the places, Lord, where we don't understand what we're hearing or we don't understand how it all is supposed to work, would you give us peace that passes understanding and a sense of joy on the journey that we just can partner with you? Yeah. I pray for those who don't remember what they heard back in January, that Holy Spirit, just the truth of what your scripture says is that you will remind us of all things. And so if there's keys that were released in January that we're supposed to walk in, if there's doors that were open for us that we just never stewarded well, Lord, we just renounce any condemnation. We just break that off of anyone because there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And we say today's the day for the light to shine, the wisdom to be released, and for people to step into and be activated in what you call for them. It's not too late. They haven't missed it, right? You're not mad at them. You're just excited to partner with them in whatever you would call them to because you know that there's life on the other side of that door. And I celebrate for the example of Paul and Silas, the life that they saw in encountering Lydia and her family. And even after being persecuted and undergoing adverse circumstances, the life that they saw with the jailer and his family and a church that was birthed. And so, Lord, I pray that you would meet each of the people who hear the sound of my voice, whether it's in person or on the podcast, that anything that they, any situation they find themselves in, especially if they're experiencing persecution or suffering as a result of following a leading from you, Holy Spirit, that their eyes would be able to have the grace to stay locked on you. And that through worship and praise, we would start seeing the and suddenlies of the earthquakes that break everything open and open up new opportunities for your glory and your kingdom to be advanced. We just want more of you. Our city deserves it. Our county deserves it. Our nation deserves it, right? And the nations deserve it. And so would you accomplish what you desire to accomplish in us that we can glorify you in the land of the living? Yeah. Sure. We just give you all praise and glory. And we celebrate this new day. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Amen.